Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. As always, it's a pleasure to have your company, so thanks for being here. Don't forget, you can sign up to our weekly newsletter by going to our website homepage at getsleepy.com. It's the best way to stay in the loop with everything coming up on Get Sleepy, plus extra bits that might interest you, such as sleep tips that help us, the Get Sleepy team, to enjoy a better night's rest. In tonight's story, TK will be reading our soothing rendition of the old fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel. But don't worry, it's got a rather more positive spin compared to the story you've probably heard before. Now, this episode is very kindly sponsored by our friends at Helix Sleep. And if you are thinking of purchasing a new mattress in the near future, then remember that supporting our sponsors is another great way to support the podcast. And I'll tell you exactly how you can do that in just a moment. Helix makes some of the comfiest mattresses in the world, and they've won a great number of awards for doing so, from the likes of GQ, Forbes, and Men's Health. And of course, sleeping on a subpar mattress is no joke. That's the time when your body wants to be most comfortable, with optimum support from your bed. Helix also recognise that we're all different, and the same goes for the way we sleep. So if you head over to helixsleep.com/getsleepy, you can take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they will instantly match your body type and sleep preferences to the ideal mattress for you. And better still, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/getsleepy. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/getsleepy for up to $200 off. So now, let's settle in for our story. Take some time to bring your body and mind into a state of rest. Let your breathing slow down to a pace that is just right for you. Notice the control you have over the pace of your breath. Usually, we breathe without any thought or control. But when we focus on it, we can slow our breathing to a nice, relaxed pace. And as you breathe a little slower, give your muscles permission to rest. You have done enough for today. And in just the same way that you consciously slowed down your breathing, you can consciously ease your mind. Thoughts may linger, and that's okay. Just let them slow down and gently drift in and out of your awareness. And now that you've invited this slower pace, you can cozy up and unlock your imagination. So imagine a forest that extends as far as the eye can see. Tall trees cast long shadows on the mossy ground. Follow these trees to the far edge of the woods. There, nestled in a clearing beneath towering pines, is a small cabin. And this is where our story begins.
Once upon a time, there was a woodcarver who had two children named Johann and Margaret. They lived in a little house at the edge of the forest. It was a quaint cabin made of wood with lace curtains on the windows. Outside, there was a beautiful garden. Margaret and Johann liked to play amongst the flowers, which towered over their heads. They were happy children, whose imaginations ran wild, and their father was very proud of them. He worked hard carving wood and selling his creations at a market in the nearby town. Every weekend, he would push his cart with a big wooden wheel down the path to the village. There, local children would marvel at all the things he made by hand. There were tiny horses that rolled on wheels and thin wooden drumsticks that made a wonderful sound when you banged them on the ground. There were flutes and painted balls, and even delicate wooden mobiles to hang over a baby's crib. Johann and Margaret often accompanied their father on market day. They would carry his toys around the square and show them to the other children. Sometimes they would just spend the afternoon chasing each other up and down the town streets. It was a special treat to go to market day. Their father would place a little silver coin in each of their pockets for them to spend any way they pleased. Their first stop was always the candy cart. Johann liked the licorice strings, while Margaret preferred the sugar drops. But when their father knew it would be a very busy day, he would tell the children to stay at the cabin and play, with promises of sweets brought home in his pocket. This particular week, Johann and Margaret were excited about going with their father into town. On the morning of market day, they woke up early and dressed in their best clothes. Then they pulled their father's cart out of the shed, around to the front of the house, and packed all his toys inside. By the time the woodcarver went to the garden, his children were already waiting for him. He picked up the handles of the cart and began to push. It was a one-wheeled contraption that was easy to maneuver over any roof or bumps in the road. As he pushed, he hummed a tune. It was the same tune every market day. Johann and Margaret knew it well and sang along, their voices ringing bright and cheerful through the trees. The road from their house was a well-worn track. It had two parallel lines that cut through the grass and marked where carriage wheels had traveled over the years. Every so often, Johann and Margaret began to skip. They called to their father to catch up as they hurried down the path. He laughed and cried after them. "Don't go too far ahead," he warned. "You don't want to get lost out here in the woods. That's how the witch will find you." "We won't get lost," the children said, and giggled as they went a little further down the road. "And we aren't scared of any witch." They waited for him by a large boulder that sat at the halfway point between their home and town. Margaret climbed to the top of the rock, using the little hand and footholds that had been worn into it over time. Johann picked up a small stick and dragged it around the boulder in a circle. He loved the scratching sound it made as it crossed the jagged stone face. After a minute, they saw their father's cap emerge from behind the green foliage that grew on both sides of the road. He smiled when he saw them, and they waved in return. Sometimes they would play hide-and-seek as they made their way into town. He would look up at the sky for just a moment, and his children would run behind a large bush or tree trunk. He would call out to them, "Ready or not," and then search both sides of the path. But there was no time for hide-and-seek today, as they had to get to the market early. The sky looked like rain was coming later on, so the woodcarver wanted to make the most of the morning hours. By the time they reached town, the other sellers were beginning to set up their tables and stalls. The woodcarver directed his cart to its usual spot on the east side of the square. He pulled out a wide leather blanket he kept tucked in the cart and unrolled it on the ground. One by one, he lined up all the toys, games, and knickknacks he had made. This was Johann and Margaret's favorite job to help with. Each of them picked a type of toy to set up in a little display on the blanket. Margaret chose the rolling animals. She placed them all in a circle, organized by height. Johann chose the games. He laid down a boomerang, a chessboard, a set of pickup sticks, and a Jacob's ladder, encircling them all with a jump rope. It had delicate wooden handles shaped like hourglasses. When they were finished, their father came over to inspect their work. He muttered his approval as he tapped a small wooden elephant on the head. "Well done," he said with a smile. He pressed a shiny silver coin into each of their palms and told them to go have fun. As always, Johann and Margaret went to find the candy seller. By this time, the market square was bustling with people. The stalls were packed together like sardines, and shoppers milled about in all directions, searching for the perfect linen, jam, or ribbon to buy. At one stall, a man haggled with a fruit seller over a large bowl of strawberries. At another, a woman tested a long rake for weight and balance. Margaret and Johann weaved through the crowd, making sure never to lose sight of one another. They dodged around swinging baskets and between aprons. They ducked under hanging displays, and hopped over a blanket where a woman was selling jewelry. When they reached the opposite side of the square, they looked around for their beloved candy seller. But the woman was nowhere to be seen. They walked to the far end of the row of carts, but all they saw were farmers selling eggs and a handful of jelly and jam makers. They searched in the other direction next, passing a man selling warm loaves of bread and a woman beside him with freshly churned butter. But still, the candy cart was missing. Margaret walked up to the baker and tapped him on the shoulder. "Excuse me," she said. "Have you seen the woman who sells candy today?" The baker shook his head. He had not seen her since last week. But perhaps Margaret should talk to the woman with the butter. She might know more. Margaret went to the next stall over and asked the same question. This woman said she'd heard a rumor that the candy seller had gone to live in the south of the country, where there was more sun and less rain. Margaret nodded. This made sense to her. It did rain an awful lot here, and it always meant her father had to close up shop before the end of the day. She walked back to Johann and told him the news. The candy seller was gone, and she would not be coming back anytime soon. Johann sighed. Margaret patted him on the shoulder. "It's all right," she told her brother. "We'll just have to find candy somewhere else." Hand in hand, they returned to their father's cart. Overhead, a storm was brewing. Heavy clouds gathered in the sky, blocking the sun from view. Their shadows turned the square gray, and sellers hurried to pack up their wares. Johann and Margaret helped their father load all of his toys back into the cart. Then they laid the leather blanket on top to protect them from the rain that was bound to come. Together, they rolled it out of the market square and onto the dirt road leading home. Just before they reached the halfway boulder, heavy raindrops began to fall. The woodcarver set down his cart and pulled back a corner of the blanket. Margaret hopped up onto the edge of the cart and then slid down in among the toys. Johann was a tad shorter than his sister, so the woodcarver lifted him up and set him down gently beside her. Then he rolled the corner of the blanket over their heads and tucked it down behind their backs. He picked up the cart's handles and continued his slow but steady pace toward home. Underneath the blanket, the children were warm and cozy. Raindrops pattered above their heads. The cart swayed from side to side on its lone wheel. The sound of the rain, combined with the rhythmic motion of the cart, was soothing. Back and forth, they rocked as the drops came pattering down. The children leaned against each other and enjoyed the ride. They felt their eyelids growing heavy fast asleep. They weren't sure how long they slept, for the next thing they knew, their father was pulling back the blanket, and they were home. Margaret climbed over the side of the cart, and then turned back and helped Johan do the same. Together with their father, they unloaded all the toys and then rolled the cart back into the safety of the shed. Inside the cabin, the woodcarver lit a warm fire. The flames crackled and hissed as they flickered over the damp logs. Soon their home was nice and toasty. On nights like this one, the children liked to bring out all their blankets and pillows and build a fort across from the fire. They snuggled down inside the soft folds of fabric and soon were asleep. That night, they dreamt of candy canes and gumdrops, of gingerbread and lollipops, and of running along down a winding path deeper and deeper into the woods. They awoke the next morning to the sound of rain against the window. All day they stayed inside, playing games and hide-and-seek behind the furniture. Their father sat at his workbench and carved little wooden ducks and geese, concentrating as he made delicate lines for wings and bills and webbed feet. Johan and Margaret once again slept in their fort by the fire and dreamed of adventures they'd like to have. The next morning was quite the same as the one before, and so it continued day after day. The rain lasted for a whole week. By the time the weekend had arrived, the children wished for nothing more than to see the sun again. Their father also hoped for a break in the weather so he could return to the market and sell everything he'd made. The rain did not let up entirely, but it lessened to a gentle drizzle on market morning. If it stayed the way it was, more of a fine mist than a storm, a few people might come to the market for shopping. So he packed up the cart and prepared to make his way into town. Because of the unpredictable weather, he told Johan and Margaret to wait for him at home. They could build another fort or play a game of checkers in the bedroom, he suggested. The two children waited at the edge of the road and waved to their father as he rolled his cart out of sight. Back inside, they couldn't think of anything they really wanted to do. They had played all the games and built all the forts. They had finished a grand tournament of checkers, 25 rounds in all, and had put together every jigsaw puzzle they could find. There was simply nothing else to do at home. Perhaps they could play in the garden, Margaret said, but the flowers were wet and the ground was covered in puddles, and they couldn't find any bunnies to play with. They splashed a few times through the deepest pools of water, but soon grew tired of this game, just like all the others. What if we made a present for Father? Johann suggested. Margaret thought about her brother's words. Their father was so kind, and he did so many nice things for both of them. They loved him more than anyone. It would be nice to make him the perfect gift. But what should it be? Margaret wondered. He already had everything he needed for wood carving. He had all his tools and a sturdy workbench. Then she had an idea. If there was one thing their father was always looking for, it was the perfect piece of wood to carve. That's what they could do this afternoon, she realized. They could go into the forest and find him the best piece of wood he had ever seen. They could give it to him as a special gift when he returned home from the market later that evening. She went to the closet and got out dry shoes for herself and Johann. Then she pulled their coats down from where they hung on little pegs by the door. She wrapped a scarf around her brother's neck and put one on, too, for good measure. Closing the door gently behind them, Johann and Margaret set off together into the woods. A little footpath began at the edge of the garden and led the way into the trees. At the start of the forest, the trees were spaced a good distance apart. Although the light was muted by the clouds, it still flowed freely between the branches. Little flowers dotted the path. Some were white with blue centers. Others were bright orange and shaped like stars. Johann stopped to look at every new flower he came across, while Margaret hopped from tree to tree, counting as she went. 1, 2, 3. On and on she counted. By the time she got to 50, the children found themselves deep in the woods. Here, the trees grew closer together. The shades of green were darker, tucked away from the open sky. Looking down at their feet, Margaret saw the path had turned patchy. Clumps of grass and weeds cut the trail into pieces, which were farther apart than they had been just a little while ago. Margaret and Johann looked around them. There was nothing to be found in the way of logs or branches that would be good for carving. They would have to venture even deeper into the woods. Looking ahead, they saw the trail disappear completely just a few steps away. It was eaten up by the dark green moss that grew on every surface it could find. Johann reached his small hand deep into his pocket. At the bottom, he found a crushed pile of biscuits he'd been munching on the week before. He closed his fist around the crumbs and pulled them out. He opened his hand and showed them to Margaret. "We can sprinkle these on the ground as we walk," he said. Then we can always find our way back home. Joanne dropped a pile of crumbs on the ground. There it sat, by the end of the path. The first mark of their great adventure. They kept their eyes fixed on the ground as they walked, scanning every inch of it for a decent chunk of wood. They found a few scrawny twigs and a number of enormous logs, but nothing that would work as a gift for their father. As they walked, Johan tossed little handfuls of crumbs on the ground. He'd take a step, then sprinkle the crumbs. Step, then sprinkle. Step, then sprinkle. He found a good rhythm to follow, and it led him deeper and deeper into the trees. They didn't know how long they had been walking when they realized it was starting to get dark. Above them, the sky was hidden behind a thick canopy of dusky pines. Around them, the shadows of the forest were long and thin. Even if they concentrated, they could no longer make out details in the distance. The light was too dim. It was time to head back home. Johan turned to find the last pile of crumbs he'd left on the ground. He looked behind him and to both sides, but the crumbs had vanished. Margaret looked all around where she was standing, but couldn't find them either. They walked back and forth and around in circles, but there were no crumbs to be found. Then they saw a raven perched on a nearby branch. It was munching contentedly on a mouthful of biscuit. "Oh no," said Margaret. "The bird has eaten our trail of crumbs." Without them, the children had no way to find the path back home. "We're lost," said Johan, flopping down to the ground. But as he landed on the moss, a surprising smell caught his attention. He lifted his nose in the air and sniffed. How odd, he thought. He was definitely smelling the familiar scent of freshly baked gingerbread. Where could it be coming from, he wondered. He stood up and followed his nose toward a dense cluster of trees not far away. Margaret soon caught up with him, and together they approached the grove of pines. The trunk stood so close together here, the children had to turn sideways in order to fit between them. On the other side, they came to a thick wall of bushy ferns. Margaret reached out and pushed apart the stems. There, in a little clearing, was the strangest cottage that children had ever seen. It was a single story tall, but the roof stood up at odd angles. On one end there was a large chimney, which connected to a rounded tile. Next to that was a rectangle with soft edges. And on the far end, the roof came to a neat little point. On every edge, there was a drizzle of white and the whole thing was made entirely of gingerbread. Below the roof was the body of the house. It had sugarcane windows and a chocolate door lined with miniature truffles. There were lights made of gumdrops and spun sugar hedges with little mint flowers. Lollipop trees guarded the door, and a line of red and white striped candy canes stood tall above peppermint bark paving stones. The smell of the gingerbread was so enticing to the two children, who had, by this time, missed their supper. Johann's tummy rumbled. Without a second thought, he ran up to the house. Before Margaret could stop him, he reached out and peeled off a piece of fudge from a window pane. As soon as the sweet touched his lips, a light flickered on inside the cottage. Margaret hid behind a cotton candy bush, and Johann stayed as quiet as a mouse. The front door creaked open on lemon drop hinges. "Hello, children," said a voice inside. Johann and Margaret looked at each other, but neither one uttered a word. "There's no use hiding," the voice said. "I know you're out there. One of you is behind the bushes, and the other has just eaten a piece of my window pane." Johann swallowed the last bit of fudge with a gulp. Margaret stood up slowly and made her way toward the door. She took Johann's hand, and together they stepped into the gingerbread house. The chocolate door closed softly behind them. It was dimly lit inside the cottage. A small fire burned in a wood stove in the corner. A few candles flickered on a table, which seemed to be made of large blocks of taffy. There, standing beside the fire, was an old woman. Her hair was gray and curled down below her chin. She was dressed in black from head to toe. Even her hands were covered in dark lace gloves. She looked the children up and down, then put a kettle on for tea. She motioned for them to sit at the table. They pulled up chairs with jelly bean cushions. "Now tell me what two little children are doing this deep in the woods at night," she said. Margaret explained they had been looking for the perfect piece of wood for their father. Johann told the woman how he had left piles of crumbs to mark their path, but the raven had eaten them. "That's how we got lost," Margaret said. The old woman chuckled. "Ravens can be quite the tricksters when they want to be," she said. She pulled two cups from the cupboard and filled them with hot tea. She placed them in front of the children. "Drink," she said. "It will warm you up." Margaret and Johann were grateful for the tea. It filled their bellies with a comforting warmth that trickled out to their fingertips and toes. When they had finished, Margaret looked up at the woman. There was something she needed to know. "Are you a witch?" Margaret asked. The old woman laughed and shook her head. "I'm not a witch," she said. "Just someone with a very special secret." The children looked at her with wide eyes and asked her to tell them. The old woman sighed and thought for a moment. Then she took a deep breath and spoke. "Everything I touch turns to candy," she said. The children gasped. "Everything?" they asked. "Everything," she replied. She slipped one of the black lace gloves off her hand and reached a long finger out toward the teacup. The moment her hand brushed the ceramic, the cup shot into the air and landed back on the table in the form of a chewy caramel. Margaret poked the caramel with her thumb. It stuck to her fingernail. The woman said she used to live in the village like everyone else. But many years ago, she accidentally turned a neighbor's chicken coop into a chocolate fountain. That very day, she bought a pair of gloves at the market, packed up her belongings, and moved deep into the woods. She had never been back to the village since. "I just don't want any more accidents," she said. The children nodded. They could understand how that would be tricky. Margaret asked the woman if she missed seeing people in town and if she ever got lonely out here in the woods. "Sometimes," the woman said. Margaret tapped Johann on the shoulder and motioned for him to follow. They walked over to the far corner of the room and spoke in hushed tones. They had to come up with a plan. Heads together, they whispered to one another for several minutes. Then they turned and walked back to the table. They explained to the woman that the usual candy seller left town. So now the market had no one with sweets. But with her gift, she could return to town on weekends and sell all the candy she could make. It would put her skill to good use, and Margaret and Johann would be her first customers. From their pockets, they pulled out the little silver coins their father had given them the week before. They placed them on the table. In exchange, the woman worked her magic. With a touch of her finger, she turned a candlestick into a piece of licorice for Johann and the other teacup into a sugar drop for Margaret. The children smiled with joy. She slipped the glove back on her hand and ushered them to the door. "And now it's time to get you home," she said. She led them back through the clearing to the stand of trees. They made their way through clusters of pine and around mossy rocks. They walked under the branch where the raven had perched and through woods that looked the same as those they'd already passed. And finally, they came to the path. Margaret and Johann thanked the woman and promised to visit another day. With a final glance in her direction, they ran all the way home, where their father greeted them warmly and tucked them safely into bed. From that day on, if you were to stand on the road between the cabin and the village on market days, you might just see a woodcarver and a witch walking together, pushing carts full of toys and candy, and smiling like old friends. And this is where our story ends for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it. Good night, and sweet dreams.